Shalom, and I'd like to share with you today a very important message about how we are to prepare for the days and the times in which we are living. I am not a person who goes around and saying, thus says the Lord, or I have a word from the Lord for you. That it may happen from time to time, but it definitely is not something that I frequently do. But that being the case, I'm going to state to you that I believe very strongly I have a word from the Lord. I have a word from Yahweh for the body of Messiah, for those who are studying the Hebraic roots of Christianity. And the word that I have for you today, which I'm going to explain, the word that I have for you today is Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 11. And that verse says, that is the word, Jeremiah 33 verse 11. And it is the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. The voice of them that say, praise Yahweh of hosts, for Yahweh is good, for His mercy endures forever. And of them that bring the sacrifice of praise in the house of Yahweh, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, says Yahweh. Now in the past, and in some recent messages that I have been given this year, on teaching of the parable of the ten virgins, I've used this verse to show the connection between marriage and the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that connection is, the beginning of the verse is the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. That is wedding talk. So what is linked with wedding talk? The last part of the verse says, I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, says Yahweh. So wedding talk, wedding, is associated with returning the captivity of the land. And for those who are connected to the restoration of our Hebraic roots, you have learned that the two houses of Israel will be coming together in the end of days, and it is a tribulation event. So for those of you who have been studying this in recent years, you already know about that. But there's something else just as important that is linked with it that you've probably not been taught. And that's what I want to teach you and share with you, the extreme importance for you to understand this in the days and the times in which we are living as a part of our preparation. Because we often ask ourselves, how are we to prepare for the days in which we believe are coming upon us? The period of time which the Bible says is a time of trouble that there's never been in the world. And we ask the question, how are we to prepare? So we're looking about how we're to prepare physically. And we should prepare physically. But in addition to preparing physically, we need to understand how we're to prepare spiritually. And this message is helping us to understand how we are to prepare spiritually in believing in and seeking to participate in the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that is included in this verse. It's the part of the verse which, in teaching and showing the connection between the marriage and the two houses come together, it's the part of the verse that I skip. It's the middle part of the verse. And the middle part of the verse connects marriage, that is the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. It connects it with this. The voice of them that say, praise Yahweh of hosts, for Yahweh is good, His mercy endures forever. And the King James says, and to them that bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of Yahweh. That is connected with the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. That is connected with the marriage. That is connected with the two houses coming together. It is linked with it. It is linked with it. And so, in the King James, where it says the sacrifice of praise, it gives you the thought that, I'm in a church service and I don't feel like raising my hands today, but today, from this church service, maybe today I'll raise my hands. That's the thought that sometimes comes into your mind. And there's a song, very nice song, by the way, and we sing it occasionally in our Sabbath service. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, which is from this verse. But it does not communicate the real meaning and the message of what this verse in this concept. And so I want to share with you a message regarding what this is speaking about. And I have to admit, a week ago, I myself didn't even know the details of what this was all about. I knew the principle of it, but I didn't know the details. And from knowing the principle, I was able to study the details, and the results of that study I want to share with you. But the first thing I want to point out is that right here in the King James, where it says, bring the sacrifice of praise, the word sacrifice is not in the Hebrew. If you look at it in the Hebrew, the word there in the Hebrew that got translated as sacrifice of praise, the Hebrew word is todah. And todah is the Hebrew word that we may often say thank you to somebody. We say todah. But understanding that todah means thank you is a very, very light understanding of the word todah, at least biblically. It's thank you is very light. Because thank you may be something that we are sincere about, but in being sincere, it also is a casual thing. In the sense that, thank you today, but I'm not going to come back tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and next year and next year to thank you again for what you did today. I'm thanking you now, and when I thank you now, I'm hoping you'll appreciate it forever, but I'm not going to keep thanking you for the rest of my life. When we say todah, I mean, we're sincere, but so we use it in that context. But biblically, it has a much deeper significance. Todah is often or also rendered a thanksgiving offering. And ultimately, what I'm going to end up showing you and sharing with you, the real meaning of todah is a life, not a moment, not an event, a life of praise and worship. Living your life in thanksgiving and praise and worship to the God of Israel. So, we're going to begin to look at scriptures that will communicate to us principles and a greater picture of what todah is. Because this is connected with the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. Todah is connected with the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel. So the Hebrew word todah is the Strong's number 8426. And in the dictionary, it gives this definition. It's an extension of the hand. It's adoration. It's a choir of worshipers. It's a thanksgiving offering. And todah is related to the Hebrew word yada, which is the Strong's number 3034, which means to revere or worship. Now what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the message is I'm going to be going over with you various scriptures where todah appears so we can understand the various, the context and application of todah. What it's associated with, so we get a picture in our mind of really what todah encompasses. So we're going to begin by looking at Leviticus in chapter 7 and beginning in verse 11. It says, this is the Torah of the sacrifice of peace offerings. Now, the word sacrifice is the Strong's number 2077. And the Strong's number 2077 is the Hebrew word 20:77. It's the Hebrew word zebak. It means a sacrifice or an offering. So this is the law of offering, zebak, of peace offerings. Now the peace offering there is the Hebrew word shalem. And a shalem is a voluntary sacrifice of thanks. It also means a sacrifice for alliance or friendship. And so when you're coming before the God of Israel in a covenant relationship, you know, Abraham was said to be the friend of God. That's a covenant relationship. When you're coming before the God of Israel on that relationship, we are to appear before Him with joy and thanksgiving. So if your offering is a shalem, which is a sacrifice for alliance or friendship, a voluntary sacrifice of thanks to the God of Israel. Now verse 12, and if He offer it for a todah, there's your todah, there's your thanksgiving offering. So we're talking about an offering that is shalem for an alliance or friendship, and that if in doing this, it is a todah, it is a thanksgiving offering, that you will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil. Now what does unleavened represents? It represents without sin. So this is an offering that you're making before the God of Israel that is in association with you being in covenant with Him, an alliance or friendship, that in coming before Him with prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, that it involves you coming before Him in repentance, consecration, and sanctification. That's the meaning of unleavened bread. And then it says, with mingled oil. What that means is ultimately, in doing this, the anointing of God will come upon you. The presence of God will be with you. And you will be manifesting the power of God when you are in this relationship. And so, this is the association that Todah has as an offering to the Almighty in the context of it being a shalem, a peace offering. And now, let's look at furthermore understanding the thanksgiving offering, Todah. And we look at Leviticus in chapter 22 and verse 29. Leviticus 22, verse 29. And it says, if you will offer a sacrifice of Todah, if you will offer a sacrifice of Todah unto Yahweh, offer it of your own will. So now we know a Todah is an offering of our own will. We have to desire to do it. We have to want to do it. And so that's going to add to our understanding. And then it says in verse 30, this is Leviticus 22, verse 30, on the same day it will be eaten up. You will leave none of it until the morning. In other words, it's something you do today. It's eaten up. It doesn't even remain till the morning. It is a voluntary offering that you make today that is not even valid for tomorrow. It's only good for today. It must be eaten. Because you know what you got to do tomorrow? The same thing. It is something that has to be done daily. You offer it, and it must be eaten the same day, which means it's fully given that day. That means if you want to make the offering tomorrow, you got to do it again. That means in order to make this offering, you got to do it day after day after day after day. Now, let's see how this offering, as you come before Him, is associated with consecration, sanctification. You're coming before Him with the heart attitude that you're now consecrating, you're sanctifying yourself unto Him. So we're going to look at this principle in the context of what is happening in 2 Chronicles in chapter 29, and then we're going to continue on and looking at chapter 30. We're going to look at Todah, the thanksgiving offering, in the context of what's happening in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and also chapter 30. Now, here we are going to see that Hezekiah, who is a good king, it says in 2 Chronicles 29 verse 2, that Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that David his father had done. So let's see what Hezekiah does as it relates to Todah. It says now in verses 3 and 4, he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of Yahweh, and he repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. So he wants to repair, bring restoration to the house of Yahweh. And in doing it, he's gathering in the priests and the Levites. Now let's see what he has them do. Verses 25 and verses 25 through 29. And he set the Levites in the house of Yahweh with cymbals, with psalteries, with harps, according to the commandment of David, and of Gad the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so is the commandment of Yahweh by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And what do we know about a burnt offering? It's to be freely given, wholly given. And when the burnt offering began, the song of Yahweh began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. So part of these reforms of the temple that Hezekiah is calling the priests of the Levites, and they're offering burnt offerings upon the altar, and then they are also coming before the God of Israel with song and worship. Now we get to verse 31. That is the context, because here in verse 31, it's going to mention Todah, the thanksgiving offering. So you see what they did first. They were bringing restoration to the temple. They were calling the priests and the Levites. They offered burnt offerings on the altar, and they're coming with singing and praise and worship. And then it says, 2 Chronicles 29:31. Then Hezekiah answered and said, now you have consecrated yourselves unto Yahweh. You see what they did first? Consecrated themselves. Then it says, come near. Come near is the Hebrew word negash. It's the Strong's number 5066. And it means intimacy. It's a word that means intimacy. So coming near means you're coming into an intimate relationship, an intimate moment. And they bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of Yahweh. The thank offerings is the Todah. Now I want you to notice the context of the Todah. It was once they were bringing restoration, they were in the process of consecrating themselves and drawing near to the God of Israel in an intimate way. They did that to offer the Todah, the thanksgiving offering. And it says, and the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart. Why does it say a free heart? Because the Todah must be a free will offering. So the ones who are doing this are doing it as a free heart of their will. Now, the timing that this is happening in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17, it says, now they began in the first day of the first month to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of Yahweh. So they sanctified the house of Yahweh in 8 days. And on the 16th day of the first month, they made an end of sanctifying the house of Yahweh. It says they did it in the first month. What month of the year is this? This is the month of Passover. This is the month of Passover. So here we see that their initial preparations for this is for Passover. And I don't know whether you heard the news in the last week, but the rabbis in Israel has called for the Jewish community worldwide to come to Jerusalem this year to celebrate Passover. That's what they've never made that call in that context before. This is the first time, they're doing this in a long while. So while they're making that call to the Jewish community to come to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover and to participate in the Passover sacrifice, the Korban, it's to participate in the Passover sacrifice. Now, whether they actually offer the Passover sacrifice, remains to be seen. But at least they're beginning the process of preparing the hearts of the people to do it for when they ultimately have an altar to be able to do it. So it's interesting that the rabbis are making this call, if you've heard it in the news in the last week or so, and that this Todah is associated with Hezekiah preparing the people for Passover and first establishing restoration, consecration, praise and worship. So they're prepared for it. And so now, then, we get to 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verses 1 and 2 where it says, "And Hezekiah sent to all Israel in Judah and wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto Yahweh God of Israel." And that's the call that the rabbis put out because they have now made the altar. They've now constructed the altar and it's completed. So they put out this call for all Jews to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover and to participate in the Korban, the Passover sacrifice, this Passover. They put out that call, just like Hezekiah put out this call. "For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month." Why is he doing it in the second month? Because they weren't prepared for the first month. So they're doing it in the second month because they had not fully prepared themselves for when Passover is intended to be kept. That is in the first month. And so now we see the context of the Todah, the thanksgiving offering, being made unto Yahweh and all the preparations that were done to make it possible. Now we go to 2 Chronicles and chapter 33 and verse 16, and it says, "And he repaired the altar of Yahweh." Notice Hezekiah was repairing the house of Yahweh. Now here in 2 Chronicles 33:16, once again, repairing the altar of Yahweh. And once they repaired the altar, they sacrificed peace offerings, that shalem, remember? That is a peace offering, which is a sacrifice for alliance or friendship, and the thank offering. You see that? The peace offering and the thank offering, and commanded Judah to serve yet the Yahweh Elohim of Israel. Now, we're going to go to Nehemiah in chapter 12, and we're going to look at this Thanksgiving offering and the context of it. Nehemiah chapter 12 in verse 30, it says, "And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates of the wall." You see, the same thing is happening again. The priests are in the process of consecrating and purifying themselves. And in doing so, they bring in the Todah. Verse 31. "Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall, and I appointed two great companies of them to give thanks. One went on the right hand of the wall, toward the dung gate. And it says who went there. So notice what they're doing. The Levites, they're repairing, bringing restoration. And the priests and the Levites are purifying themselves. And in doing so, they're bringing the Todah. They're bringing the thanksgiving offering. Once they do this process. Now, let's go to Psalm in chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50 in verse 23. It says, whoever offers praise, that's Todah, that's the thanksgiving offering. So now we've studied the context of it. It says, whoever offers Todah glorifies me. You see? This offering is for the purpose, Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. Whoever offers Todah glorifies me. So now we know it's just not, you know, having your church service and now we got the 10 minutes praise and worship, so let's decide to raise our hands. Okay, that part of the service is done. I praised him now. That's not what Todah is talking about. We've just looked at Leviticus and Chronicles and looked at the context of what Todah is. And it says, whoever offers the thanksgiving offering, Todah, glorifies me. And him that orders his conversation, the word conversation there is the Hebrew word derech, which is often translated as way. And if you look up the meaning of derech in the Strong's, it means a manner of life. It means a lifestyle. So this is what the verse says in the Hebrew. Whoever offers a thanksgiving offering unto Yahweh glorifies him, and he is doing this as a lifestyle. Because ultimately, Yahweh wants those who... What did Yeshua say? He's seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So this Todah, this Todah offering is in the context of your worship unto the God of Israel. And now we're going to begin to look at the process. What is our heart regarding this worship? What is our attitude? So now, we look at Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, it's going to be speaking about this thanksgiving offering. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the things that are said regarding the thanksgiving offering. What is associated with it? And it says in verse 1, come let us sing unto Yahweh. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. First of all, who is the rock of your salvation? It's Yeshua. So this is something that is unto the rock of your salvation. Do you realize that in this movement, there are elements of this movement who are putting Yeshua aside? And the Todah, the thanksgiving offering, is to the rock of your salvation. It's not even possible for you to be offering this thanksgiving offering when you're trying to cast Yeshua aside, saying that he's not to be worshipped, saying that he's not Yahweh. You might as well have not even have heard anyone talk to you about Hebrew roots, if that's what your studies have come to the conclusion of, because it says, let us sing unto Yahweh, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. So it's to the rock of your salvation, it's to Yeshua. And what are you supposed to do under the rock of your salvation? You're to sing unto him and make a joyful noise. And then it says in verse 2, come before his presence with Todah, with the thanksgiving offering. Do you know what the word presence is in Hebrew? It's panim. And panim means face. It come to his face. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he was said to be in the presence of God, or he was said to be face to face. And the ultimate relationship you have with your Creator is called in the Bible face to face. So it says, come into his presence. We're talking about the ultimate relationship. We're saying, come into it with Todah, with thanksgiving. Now it's telling you how you're to do it. You're to do it by singing unto him, making a joyful noise. And verse 2, make a joyful noise with him with songs, with psalms. And then it says, verse 3, For Yahweh is a great God and a great King above all gods. You see, you cannot make a true Todah. You cannot make a true thanksgiving offering unless you're doing it with the mindset that He is Elohim. In other words, He's sovereign, He rules over all, and you're recognizing Him as being sovereign rule over all. Not with your lips, not just with your lips, but in your life. That as you get up, today my life is governed that He is sovereign, that He rules over all, that I have a relationship with Him. And because He is who He is, and then I'm going to praise Him for who He is because He deserves it, for who He is. And in me coming in with this attitude, I have a shalem before Him. I'm bringing an offering, a sacrifice of alliance, of friendship. I have this relationship with my Creator. And it says, if we continue on, and looking at Psalm 95, verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh, our Maker." Who is the Creator? Who created the heavens and the earth? John chapter 1, verse 3, Colossians 1, 15 and 16. It says, Yeshua created the heavens. Come kneel before our Maker. So now we're being told that this Todah, this thanksgiving offering, that in making it, we're singing before Him, that we're coming into His presence, this intimate moment, this intimate relationship with a joyful noise, and we're coming not only with an attitude of thanksgiving and praise, but we are acknowledging Him that He is sovereign. He's King of the universe. Not just, like I said, saying that He is and you believe that He is, but He's sovereign in your life. He's the King in your life. He's leading and guiding and directing your life. And the things in your life. And because He is and because of who He is, then I can just sing about it. I can just praise Him for it. Because He is who He is. And He reigns over all. And so, I can now kneel before Yahweh, our Maker. Because then it says, "For He is our Elohim, and we are His people. And we the people of His pasture, and we are the sheep of His hand." So in other words, this Todah is coming with the understanding, the attitude that we're His people. He's sovereign, He rules over all, and I'm His servant. And I'm the sheep of His pasture, and He's the good shepherd, and He takes care of me. He looks over my affairs. When someone wants to come and cause the sheep to go astray, no, you can't do it, because I'm in Todah with my Creator. I'm in thanksgiving and praise to my Creator. I'm in His presence. He's taking care of me. He's God. He's King of the universe. And because He's God, King of the universe, I'm His sheep. And He takes care of me. Todah. I offer thanksgiving, praise, and joy unto Him. That's the picture of the context of Todah. Now, let's see how this is further presented in the Psalm. Psalm 116. Psalm 116 in verse 12 says, "What shall I render unto Yahweh for all of His benefits toward me?" For who He is and what He's done for me. What can I do in response? That's the question. And the answer is in verse 17, "I will offer to you the sacrifice of Todah, and I will call upon your name." Well, what can I do for all the stuff that He's done for me? What's my response? Ah, I'm going to offer Todah. I'm going to offer thanksgiving. And so someone in the congregation just said, "Dance like David danced." We're going to look at, yes, that in the context. When David was restoring praise and worship, in his Todah, he danced before Yahweh. And so now let's look at Psalm 107. No, we're not going to look at Psalm 107 yet. We're going to look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Now, Psalm 100 is a psalm that most of us should be very familiar with. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. Most of us are familiar with this. This is a very popular and famous psalm. But what I didn't know till I was studying this is before verse 1 in your King James Bible where it says a psalm of praise. Do you know what the word praise is? Todah. So we're being now told what Todah is, what this thanksgiving offering is, what we need to do to participate in it. And that's what the psalm's about. So this is what Todah is. This is what the thanksgiving offering is. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh, all ye lands. So a thanksgiving offering is you're coming, making a joyful noise before Him. And, verse 2, serve Yahweh with gladness. That's Todah. See, it's possible to serve Him or believe in Him and want Him to lead, guide, and direct your life, and you're pursuing Him, but you're not doing it with gladness. You're up and down. Oh, I don't know what happened today. I don't know. I'm bummed out. I don't know what's going on. Oh, God, help me today. And so I don't know. I'm not very encouraged today. I'm not very happy. You know, so life's not going very well. That's not serving the Lord with gladness. And guess who's guilty of having that attitude? All of us. Every single one of us has lived our lives at one point or another having that thought process. Every one of us. That's why it has to be a free will. That's why it has to be volunteer and free will, because you know sometimes you don't feel like doing it. Sometimes your circumstances don't make you happy. So Todah is, He is who He is. He's sovereign. We are the sheep of His pasture. So therefore, because of who He is, He deserves me to come before Him with a joyful noise, with singing, with praise, and because serving with gladness. So Todah is serving Him with gladness. Come into His presence, that's panim, with singing. See, if you want to have an intimate relationship with Him, that's face-to-face, into His presence, you have to do it with Todah. You have to do it with a joyful heart. You have to do it with singing. You have to do it of your own free will. And this is your service unto Him. And so, verse 3, know that Yahweh, He is God. You know that word know is yada. It means to know intimately. So in other words, I cannot give a thanksgiving offering unless I know intimately that He is Elohim. What I mean by knowing that He's Elohim, that it's a reality in your mind that He is the King of the universe, He's sovereign, He's ruled over all, He governs the affairs of men, He governs your life, He takes care of you, and He provides for you, and that because you're in covenant relationship with Him, then your enemies is His enemies. And if they attack you, they attack Him. And because you're in thanksgiving offering to Him, and you're praising Him, what does it say? In the presence of praise, there's confusion in the camp. The enemy flees. The enemy is defeated. And so it says, know that Yahweh is Elohim. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. You see, your attitude of Todah is, you're not yourself. And you know, ultimately, I heard somebody give a definition of sin one time. Sin is self-pity. Sin is a focus on self and woe for self. And sorrowful for self. All sin is about self. And so, if we come and know that we are not ourselves, in other words, the reason why I have breath is because I'm to serve my Creator. It has nothing to do with me. Life has nothing to do about me. And so, therefore, how can I get upset about life when it has nothing to do about with me? It's all about Him and who He is, and He created me to serve Him. And so, I can only have that attitude. The Todah is that attitude of who you are, who He is. And if you know who He is and know who you are in Him, now you can come before Him with praise and thanksgiving. And so it says in verse 4, enter into his gates with todah. You see that? Enter his gates with todah, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So todah, a thanksgiving offering, is you are perpetually thankful unto him. And you know what? I don't care who you are, you can always be thankful for something. At minimum, you can be thankful that you breathe. He's the one that allows you to breathe. Just think of whatever benefit. Even if life isn't all that great to you, you can be thankful for something. And he's the source of all good things. So a todah means you are in an attitude of thanksgiving to your Creator. I'm thanking him all the time for who he is and what he does. I'm in an attitude of thanksgiving. And because of that, I'm going to bless his name. I'm going to thank him for who he is. So now I want you to go back now and look at Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11. Now, since I've painted for you a picture of what todah is, the attitude, the background, in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11, it says, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the voice of them that say, praise Yahweh of hosts, he is good, his mercy endures forever, and to those that bring todah into the house of Yahweh. So those who bring todah, a thanksgiving offering, to the house of Yahweh, who is his bride, because the one that's doing it is proclaiming the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. So those who are bringing todah into his house is able to say these words, praise him, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. They say the words. The one who brings todah says, praise him, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Now let's go back to Psalm 100. And now let's link Psalm 100 and everything that's associated with the thanksgiving offering, the todah, and look what it says in verse 5. After it says in verse 4, enter into his gates with todah, with thanksgiving, it says, verse 5, Yahweh is good and his mercy is everlasting. You see the thematic connection between todah? And he is good and his mercy is everlasting. And his truth to all generations. What's his truth? Following Torah. So we are to follow his Torah in the attitude of todah, the thanksgiving offering. Now, what I want to show you now is the connection between the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel, the wedding of the Messiah, and this todah. We saw it in Jeremiah 33:11. It talked about the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. So in talking about marriage, it mentions bringing this todah, this thanksgiving offering, into the house of Yahweh, and it says, I'm going to turn again the captivity of the land. Now, on an individual spiritual basis, we all go through trials and tribulations, all of us. None of us are without trials and tribulations. And so, when we go through trials and tribulations, our land is in captivity. When we go through trials and tribulations, our land is in captivity. And he's going to return the captivity of the land when we bring to him an offering, a todah offering unto his house. That's how he defeats our battles for us. And so now, let's go to Jeremiah in chapter 30 and verse 7. It says, alas, for that day is great, it's none like it, it's the time of Jacob's trouble. So we're establishing a time reference. We're speaking about Jacob's trouble. We're speaking about the tribulation. And now in verse 17 it says, I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says Yahweh, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, which no man seeks after. And so he's saying, I'm going to restore health to you. What is that? The end of the exile. I will heal you of your wound. What's that? That's the exile. So the context is Jacob's trouble, the tribulation, and he's ending the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel. You see that? Now, what is linked with that thought? Verses 18 and 19. Thus says Yahweh, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. the city will be builded, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. So it's gathering the 12 tribes of Israel. Now let's look what's linked with that. Verse 19. And out of them, out of those who are part of the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel, out of them shall proceed Todah. Out of them shall proceed the thanksgiving offering. The ones who are offering this thanksgiving offering is Zion. The one that's offering this thanksgiving offering are those who are part of the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel. So in Jeremiah 30, we see the connection of the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel, and those who are being gathered are offering this Todah. And we saw it in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11. He's restoring the captivity of the land, and they're offering Todah unto him. So now, we're going to look at Isaiah in chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 3. It says, Yahweh will comfort Zion. Well, how is Zion comforted? By the end of the exile, by the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel. So we're talking about the comforting of Zion, the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then it says at the end of verse 3, joy and gladness will be found therein, Todah and the voice of medley. You see that? The comforting of Zion is associated with Zion offering Todah. Joy, thanksgiving, and a voice of melody. You see the connection between the two. Now let's go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147 and verse 2. It says, Yahweh builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. So what's the subject? Gathering the 12 tribes of Israel. What is linked with gathering the 12 tribes of Israel? Verse 7. Sing unto Yahweh with Todah. There we have it again. The gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel is singing to Yahweh with Todah. Sing praises upon the harp. Look. The gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel, those who are being gathered are offering Todah, and they're singing with a harp. What do we see in Revelation 15, verse 3? They're playing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, and they're playing their harps. Now, let's continue and look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. You see that phrase? He's good and His mercy endures forever. Now, from our study, who's saying that phrase? Those who are being gathered and those who are giving Todah. So it says, Give thanks unto Yahweh, He is good and His mercy endures forever. And then it says, Let the redeemed of Yahweh say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathers them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and the south. What's it talking about? It's talking about gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, what does it say about those who are gathered? They wandered in the wilderness, and they found no city to dwell in. Why? Because the return of the land is going to be in the wilderness. It's not going to be in the cities. They're in the wilderness, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto Yahweh in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city of habitation. And then it goes on to say in verse 22, And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of Todah. And declare His works with rejoicing. You see, once again, the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel is associated with those offering this Todah, this thanksgiving offering. And so, in looking at these scriptures then, we're trying to paint a picture for you of what this thanksgiving offering is. What's the context of it? How is it offered? How do you offer it? What's your attitude in offering it? And so, let's summarize the concepts that we've covered regarding Todah and what it means and what it means to offer it. We see in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 16, it was associated with repairing the altar. So, Before Todah can be given, there must first be restoration. There must be repairing the altar. And your heart is your altar. That's where you offer praise unto Yahweh with your heart. So you can't offer Todah with a wounded heart. There must be a repairing of the altar. There must be a repairing of the heart. And then once the heart is being repaired, 2 Chronicles 29, 3 and 4, verses 25 through 29 and verse 31, you begin the process of consecration and sanctification for the purpose of coming near in an intimate relationship with your Creator, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 31. And part of this is about preparing yourself for Passover. So, the God of Israel has spoken to my heart, and hopefully I will be able to be obedient and follow through on it, that this year, 2010, is a very significant year, and we need to prepare ourselves for this Passover like we've never done before. I've been celebrating Passover since 1994. So I believe in celebrating Passover. And a part of Passover, you're supposed to prepare yourselves. But this year, we need to prepare ourselves for Passover like we've never did in any other year. And then, Psalm chapter 50, verse 23, we see that Todah is associated with a lifestyle. Leviticus 22, 29, it is a free will offering that must be offered ultimately every day. Next, Todah is associated with a peace offering, which is an offering for alliance and friendship. We see this in Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. This Todah is to be offered to the rock of our salvation, who is Yeshua. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Todah itself, to give you a picture, it's an extension of the hand, which is a form of worship. It's adoration. It's a choir of worshipers. It's a thanksgiving offering. Todah, this thanksgiving offering, is associated with the heart of those who are part of the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in not only coming before Him with prayer, praise, singing, but we proclaim Yahweh is good and His mercy endures forever. So Todah is associated with the gathering of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jeremiah 33:11, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, verses 17 through 19, Psalm 147, verses 2 through 7, Isaiah 51, verse 3. It's associating with proclaiming that Yahweh is good and His mercy endures forever. Jeremiah 33:11, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, Psalm 100, verse 5. Now, we did not look at that verse yet, and so all the other verses we have looked at. So let's look at 2 Chronicles and chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. It says, it came to pass that as the trumpeters and singers were at one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking Yahweh, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised Yahweh, saying, He is good and His mercy endures forever. Well, who says He's good and His mercy endures forever? Those who's offering Todah. Those who's coming before Him with thanksgiving and rejoicing. That look what happens. That the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of Yahweh. So the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of Yahweh filled the house. I want you to notice what the result was with once they were singing and praising, we're one, and they were in Todah. That the cloud filled the house. How are we to return to the land? The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And what is that cloud by day and pillar of night associated with? The manifestation of the glory of Yahweh. So we see here that as we're offering Todah, as they're offering Todah, and as they're one, that the cloud is present, and the glory of Yahweh is present. And exactly right. This is thematically linking with Acts 2 and Pentecost, and what happened there at Pentecost. So now, in continuing to summarize what we've already been learning, what Todah is, a Todah, thanksgiving offering, you need to understand the attitude of the one who's giving that Todah. that the attitude is he needs to see himself as he's coming into the presence of the Almighty. That is a face-to-face. The Almighty requires that if you're to come into his presence, that you must do so with singing, a joyful noise, and an attitude of kneeling and worshiping before him. That's Psalm 95 and Psalm 100. And that your attitude in singing and making a joyful noise is the realization that he is sovereign, that he rules over the affairs of men. Your enemies don't have the final word about things. He rules over the affairs of men. Todah has that attitude, that he's sovereign, he rules over all, and that he shows mercy to his people who has this relationship with him, and that he defeats his enemies. And that in his presence is praise, honor, glory, and worship. And that we have been teaching in this movement, at least I have, in Acts 15, about restoring the tabernacle of David. And I've been teaching that the restoration of the tabernacle of David is the restoration of the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. That is true, but it's not just that. It is also a restoration of worship that comes with it, because in 1 Chronicles in chapter 15, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, David brings the Ark of Elohim to Jerusalem. Now, spiritually, who is the Ark? Yeshua is the Ark. So, the Ark being brought to Jerusalem is Yeshua gathering the exiles of Israel spiritually. When the Ark is brought to Jerusalem, when Yeshua sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, it's in the context of gathering the 12 tribes of Israel. The Ark has come to Jerusalem when he gathers the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's bringing the Ark to Jerusalem, and what he's doing is he's called forth the priests and the Levites, and in 1 Chronicles 15 and 16, that they then are offering prayer, praise, thanksgiving, glory, honor, and worship. And as I was doing this study, I thought to myself, why is it that the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart? Why did God love him so much? Because as you know, David committed some very famous sins. Such of which, committing some of the same sins that David did, you wouldn't be very well welcomed in most churches. So why was it that was David called a man after his own heart? Because David understood Todah. What? Yeah, David wanted Yahweh's heart to be his, and that heart that is a heart of Todah. David wrote the Psalms, and the Psalms are all about praise Yahweh, praise Yahweh, praise Yahweh. So David understood Todah, and the thing that touches the Almighty more than anything else is Todah. That you come before Him, you worship Him and praise Him for who He is, you give honor to His name, and that's what David's heart was, and that's what David wrote about in his Psalms. That's why God loved him so much, is because he understood this praise and worship and this Todah. So, in finishing up this message, that if this praise and worship is associated with the end of days, the people of the God of Israel who are being gathered in the end of days, if it's associated with the bride of Messiah and the coming of Messiah for his bride, we should be able to see this in the book of Revelation. So we do. It's constantly being repeated in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, and said, come up hither, I will show you that which must come after. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne that was set in heaven, and he sat on the throne. So, he's being shown what happens before the throne. With our study, do you have any idea what's going to be happening before the throne? Todah. And so, we're going to see verses 8 through 11. And the beast, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Yahweh Elohim, which is, which was, which is to come. And when these beasts gave, when they gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, worshipped him that lived forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created." Why is he worthy to receive glory and honor and power? Because he created all things. Who created all things? Yeshua. John 1:3. Colossians 1:15 and 16. And now we go to Revelation chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." That's Todah. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lived forever and ever." You know, because we misunderstand what the Shema is, there are some in the Hebrew Roots movement that says, we're not to worship Yeshua. Did you ever read the book of Revelation? Did you ever read Psalm 95? That we're to worship the rock of our salvation. And why is he to be worshipped? Because he is Yahweh. Yeah. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and psalms in their hands." Now, I've taught on Revelation 7 before, and at the end of Revelation 7, when it says, when the question is asked, verse 13, "Who are these that are arrayed in white robes, and where they come from?" He said, "Sir, you know." And then the answer that is given in verses 16 and 17 is a quote from Isaiah 49, verse 10. These are the 12 tribes of Israel regathered. Now, look what Revelation 7 associates with the gathering of the 12 tribes. That they're crying with a loud voice, "Salvation to our God, which sits on the throne." And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and they fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 17. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in the heavens, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Messiah. And he, the Messiah, will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, We give you thanks." What do you think? This is in Greek, but what do you think the thanks that they're giving him is? It's Todah. It's the thanksgiving offering. "We give you thanks, O Yahweh Elohim Almighty, which art, which was, which are to come, because you have taken to you your great power and you have reigned." Finally, Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that got the victory over the beast..." They got the victory over his image, they got the victory over his mark, and they got the victory over his name, having the hearts of God. Notice, we're talking about those who get the victory. And notice what they do, they're having the hearts of God. Now, I've done studies before showing you that having the hearts of God is associated with the 12 tribes of Israel united. But, I believe we looked at Psalm 107, I believe it was, where we saw that the Todah, the thanksgiving offering, was to be done with harps. It was to be done with harps. So they're playing harps. And now look what they do. "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and they sing the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, thou King of saints. And so, so far in this Hebraic Roots movement, what's being emphasized more than anything else is the restoration and the study of the Word, specifically the Torah and following the Torah. And that is absolutely vital and necessary. That's a part of the ministry of Elijah, which prepares the bride for the coming of the Messiah. Where it says in Malachi chapter 4, verse 4, remember the Torah of Moses. But in giving our hearts to the Torah and seeking to follow the Torah, sadly, more often than not, in this movement, it's very rare to find a fellowship that come together that won't fight over something. And you know what? When they're fighting, there is no way that they're offering Todah. And so here we think we want to fight with someone because they're not following the Torah, and I'm going to show you that I follow the Torah better than someone else. And guess what? You are so far from knowing what following the Torah is that you have no clue what a Todah is. And so, therefore, we need to understand that there's going to be a restoration of all things. And the restoration of the tabernacle of David is just not the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel and the return of the Torah, but it's also the proper praise and worship of Him. And the praise and the worship that He wants of us is that Todah. He wants it to be a lifestyle. That when we come before Him, that when we come before His presence, that we do it with an attitude of joy and thanksgiving and praise, because we are His servants and He is Elohim, He's King of the universe, He's sovereign, He reigns over all, and that if we will bring this worship before us of Him, then His presence will be with us, His cloud will be with us, and we will be able to say He's good and His mercy endures forever. He will feed us, He will clothe us, He will take care of our enemies. And you know how we're going to get the victory during the Great Tribulation? It's by Todah. It is with Todah. So that is the word that I have for you today, is the importance and significance of Todah to our walk of expressing our faith in Yeshua as the Messiah by following His Torah, because we thank Him and praise Him for who He is and what He has done for us. So I pray that the message has been a blessing to you. And remember always these words from 1 John in chapter 2 and verse 6, that he who says he abides in Him, he who says that he is a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, ought himself to walk, that means to live our lives even as He walked. And how did Yeshua walk, or how did He live His life? He followed the Torah of His Father. He worshipped His Father in spirit and in truth. And so should we, because those are the true worshipers which He is seeking. As Yeshua Himself told us in John in chapter 4 and verse 24. He's looking for people who will follow His Torah, follow Him in truth, but in spirit, who will worship Him and come before Him with prayer, praise, thanksgiving, and with this Todah, this thanksgiving offering unto Him. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Wow. Amen.